My guest today is Dr. Keenan Bridges, who is the senior pastor of Grace and Peace Global Fellowship in Florida in the United States. He has a profound revelation of the Word of God and a dynamic teaching ministry. Through his practical approach to applying the deep truths of the Word of God, he reveals the authority and identity of the new covenant believer. A highly sought after speaker, and a little bit earlier on this year, actually last month on the 12th of July, Dr. Keenan Bridges shared a powerful prophetic word that the Lord had placed on his heart for South Africa. And the word God released through Dr. Keenan Bridges resonated with the hearts of many people in South Africa. It was a timeous and impactful, and also confirmed several previous prophetic words spoken over South Africa. And Dr. Keenan is in South Africa to do a tour to share this word, and also will be praying over specific things in South Africa. Dr. Keenan, it's so good to have you joining us right here at Impact 103.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I want to find out first, before we get into the word that you have to share, you've been here for a couple of days, a couple of hours. Have they offered you some biltong?
Actually, I think they have.
Is it? Okay.
I was about to say no, but I think I ate some.
I need to verify, because if not, I need to talk to the people you've seen prior to being.
Yeah, yeah. It's very tasty. It's like our beef jerky, but a lot more lean. I think it's really nice, though. It's a nice flavor. Yeah.
Okay, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Just make sure you get a really comfortable South
African. Is that what it takes to be a South African?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you haven't had biltong, or you haven't had a braai, which is a barbecue in the U.S., if you haven't any of these two and you came here, I don't know.
It
could have been somewhere else. Definitely not South Africa.
Okay.
But I think the main reason why we're sitting together is because you've got a very specific message that you really felt the Lord has laid on your heart to share with us in South Africa.
Yes.
I think we find ourselves in a very peculiar space, in a very different space in the spirit with the transitions that's happening. What's that message, if I could ask?
Well, I believe that God is highlighting South Africa because this is a time of revival for this nation.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, revival comes when there's darkness. You know, I tell people, if you look at the creation account in Genesis 1, what preceded the "let there be light" was the chaos and the confusion, the formlessness and the void. Mm. So those were the conditions that were basically there before the light broke forth. Mm. And so, you know, we find ourselves here as a nation. You look at South Africa, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of things that people are really experiencing, whether it's poverty or gender-based violence, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of darkness, and it has affected people. And there's a cry for that light to break forth. And I really believe that God is targeting South Africa. One of the things I shared on my prophetic word is that South Africa would be an oasis for revival. Mm. You know, based on Isaiah 43:19, you notice that he says, actually in Isaiah 43:18, it talks about, remember not the former things. Yeah. Then it says in the 19th verse, behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord. I make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So you see that same concept. There's desert, but God wants to make that dry place an oasis. He wants to produce springs out of the dry place. So that's what I believe God is saying for South Africa, that there must be an awakening here. There must be repentance on a national level, an individual level, for the things that we have embraced here as a culture. You know, this, what we call synchronism, is when you mix spiritism and animism and ancestral worship and all kinds of things into our spirituality. And that was never God's design for us. He's the God of this land. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So when we make, and I'm saying we, you hear me saying we a lot, I'm not a South African citizen, but in Daniel chapter 7 through 11, when Daniel prayed, Daniel was a righteous man. But you notice when he prays, he repents, not because he individually sinned, but it's called identificational repentance. He identifies with the nation of Israel in Babylon and so forth, and he repents on their behalf. So he's standing in proxy. You know, proxy is when someone basically has the ability to stand in the place of another.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm using the term we, even though this is my first time here in South Africa. I believe that there must be true repentance and a turning to God as the author and the founder of this nation. This nation is not founded on spiritism and animism and ancestral worship. This nation is founded by God himself. He is the one who gives birth to nations. So regardless of the history of the nation, just like America, we have a very sullied history. You know, America, who everybody looks to as sort of the blueprint for civilization and modernization, we have a very dark history. But in the midst of that darkness, God actually was the author of America. You know, when the founding fathers came there, they made a covenant with God. So I believe that there's a covenant God has with South Africa and the surrounding nations, and he wants to awaken that covenant in the hearts of people here so that they'll turn to him. And I said this too, this is probably the last thing I'll say on this, but you know, there's a sound of worship that God wants to ignite in South Africa. And I would compare it to, you know, for many years in the past, you had Australia became, you know, the forefront of worship all over the world. And I believe that South Africa is going to be that next great sound that comes as it relates to worship revival worship. Worship that when people hear the sound, it sort of ignites revival in people's hearts, you know, because of that cry of worship. So I really believe it's South Africa's time. I believe this is the moment right now where God is, he's pointing his finger on the continent and specifically on South Africa as a spot where he wants to bring forth revival. So that's kind of, there's more to it, but that's kind of the basis of what I'm saying.
When you speak of revival, it's something that, if I think about us in the church in South Africa, we've yearned for revival for a long time. We've prayed for revival for a long time.
Right.
Why do you think that now is the time?
Well, because when we look at the times and the seasons, Isaiah 60 says, "Arise and shine," says, "Thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." Then it says, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but his light shall be seen on you." So here it is, the same thing we talked about in Genesis 1. The conditions require a move of God. Mm-hmm. The conditions of this nation right now are such that if there's not a move of God, then it will not be able to move forward. So I believe that the set time is connected to the current condition of the nation and the desperation of the nation. You know, you think about Israel in Egypt for 430 years, but it says in the book of Exodus, I believe it's the third chapter, I'm not sure which chapter it is, I believe it's chapter 3, where it says, God says, "I've heard the cries of my people." So we don't know when they cried, but there was something about that season prophetically. When they cried in that season, God heard them and he raised up Moses to deliver them. So I believe that it's the divine timing of God. You know, there is a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of disappointment, a lot of hurt, a lot of despair. There's a lot of uncertainty. And I think there's a lot of tension. You know, you look at the flooding in different parts of South Africa. You look at, you know, we've had cases where women were murdered, basically. You know, you have, you know, issues of corruption in government. There's so many things, and not to be too political, but I'm simply saying that there's so many conditions now that where we must have a move of God.
Yeah.
There's no other option. This is God's, this is South Africa's opportunity to see a transformation, but we have to take this open window now. It's not something we can wink at and say, "Oh, well, you know, God will do it one day." No, now is the time. So people really need to wake up and they need to respond, because there's no coincidence that God has someone that doesn't have a particular vested interest in South Africa. And I mean, like, I don't own any property here. I don't have a business here. I don't have a church here. But the Lord put it upon my heart so strongly and so urgently. He says, "Now, I want you to release that word right now." I was driving in the car and he says, "Right now, don't wait another second." I'm like, "Can I park first?" He says, "Right now." And I think when I released it, everybody that I've talked to who's heard that word, every major leader, major pastor, all of the fathers that I've talked to here in South Africa, all of them, there's a consensus that they say the timing of the word was so apt. And so I believe that's God's confirmation that this is the time. Yeah.
You mentioned something just now as you're talking about this is the time and people ought to respond.
Yes.
When God makes a move like that, there's a response that's required from us, but also there's a preparation of our hearts that's required. What can a person do who's listening right now, kind of with that anticipation for what God is going to do, but they're realizing I need to prepare my heart for that move of God?
Yeah, because when we talk about revival and the glory of God touching a place, that's a very serious thing. It's not, you know, it's not smiles and giggles. It's basically God manifesting himself in a specific place to a specific people for a specific purpose. And all throughout scripture, when we look at revival or we look at the glory of God touching a people, it was always precipitated by repentance. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, let a man examine himself. And that word, that's almost like a legal term when you cross-examine a witness and you ask them questions and say, you know, where were you? What were you doing? What was your alibi? I think we need to examine ourselves. We need to go before God and we need to be a witness in his courts against the things in our lives that are displeasing to him. You know, Lord, have I been one who's fostered unity? Have I been a person who has promoted righteousness? Have I walked in righteousness? Have I walked in integrity? You know, we need to examine our character because God cannot put new wine in old wineskins. Because what happens, Jesus says, if you put new wine in old wineskins, the old wineskin, the acidity of the wine will cause the bottle to burst and the wine is wasted. And God's not in the business of wasting anything. He does not waste wine. So here's what we need to do. We need to be new wineskins. And that comes through Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to have a mind renewal. And that starts with examining ourselves and recognizing, Lord, there's some areas in my life that have not aligned with you, have not aligned with your word, have not been pleasing to you. And I turn from those things. And I'm asking that you would give me the grace to renew my mind. Some translations, like the Message translation, say, think differently. That's it. Just think differently. You know, I need to think differently about my spirituality. I need to think differently about the church. I need to think differently about my role. And I want to say this because I think this is really important. I think that South Africans need to take ownership over their destiny, meaning that for far too long, there has been sort of an abdicating of our authority. You know, and putting our lives and our destinies and futures in the hands of someone else. You know, if you look at it from a physical standpoint, even the nation, you know, looking to the outside to fix things. But when you realize that you have to have ownership over your own spiritual life, it's not the prophet, it's not the pastor, it's not the apostle. It's not whatever new move is happening. It's right here in my heart. That's where it begins. You know, looking at my own heart and saying, God, do you have a place in my heart? Are you welcomed in my life? And if not, I need to move some furniture around. There's some stuff that has to go because I need to make room for my miracle. The Shunammite woman made room for the word of God by saying to her husband, hey, a man of God is passing by. Can we make for him an inn? Can we make for him a place to rest? And that was prophetic. She was making room for her miracle. She was saying, God, whatever you're doing, I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And that's my cry for South Africa. That's my cry for America and for myself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I want to be in the middle of it. And I think, you know, Africans are nosy. And I don't mean to be offensive, but if something happens down the street, our heads pop around the corner and we say, who was that? What was that? What they say? Where they? True. Right? So we need to be nosy in the things of God.
Yeah,
you know, if heaven's having a conversation, I want to be in on it. I want to eavesdrop on what's happening in the throne room and what God is saying about this land. Yeah.
How do I make sure I don't miss it for someone who's hearing this?
Yeah.
Making sure they're not caught off sight, off guard, and
yeah.
being aware that God's about to do something, but I don't want to miss it.
Yeah, I think we need to be vigilant against apathy.
Mm.
You know, what happens when people have waited for a long time for something and they don't see it anymore, they get discouraged. And discouragement is the distancing from your courage.
Mm.
It's when you distance yourself from courage. Because if you look at what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he says, be strong and courageous. In order to possess the land, it requires courage. And so that's my prayer, that God would restore courage that will break off the apathy and the insensitivity to what God is saying and doing, and that there would be a hunger again. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7, it says, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's actually mistranslated. The word fear there is more accurately translated cowardice or timidity, meaning that God's not giving you a spirit of intimidation, meaning that in order to walk in what he has for you, you have to have courage. And so that's really my prayer for those listening, that the Lord would restore courage to you, that he would break off the shackles of spiritual apathy and discouragement and give you a fresh sensitivity to what he's speaking and doing in the earth, that you would be a part of it.
Now, earlier you mentioned about how you mentioned worship and revival, and I mentioned that, you know, we've been praying for revival for a while, and your travel to South Africa, firstly and primarily, is to deliver the word that the Lord has laid on your heart. But one of the other things you're doing while you're here is you're spending time praying for South Africa. And
yes.
Tomorrow you'll be doing exactly that in Cape Town at Signal Hill, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I'm certain that there's certain things that you'll be praying over specifically mm-hmm. for South Africa. Do you mind sharing some of those points that even though we might not be there with you, mm-hmm. we can agree with you in prayer and pray with you during that time?
Yeah, one of the things I'm praying for is that the spirit of fatherlessness would be broken and that men in particular would raise up in this land as the priests of their homes and that they would lead their families. Because one of the things about revival, the spirit of Elijah restores the hearts of the fathers back to the children.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that has to precede the move of God, is that the fathers have to be restored back to the children. We're praying for that. We're praying that people would understand their identity in Christ. We're praying against agendas that have come into the land that are nefarious in nature, that have been designed to undermine the church, undermine the family, undermine sexuality, etc. And we're praying that churches would unify, that they would come together in faith according to the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I pray that they may be one. So we're going to pray for that. It's targeted. And just the spirit of witchcraft that has so insidiously affected so much of spirituality here would be broken. So that's some of the things we're going to be praying for.
Pastor Keenan, it's been a great pleasure to have
yes,
you
sir.
Here joining and the Impact 103 studios. And definitely also just coming to South Africa
for beautiful
being a
country.
Vessel for what God is doing in our time, sharing it, encouraging. And I'm certain that someone who's listening right now is thinking, one, being encouraged of what God is about to do in their lives, and ultimately just being reawakened to being aware and awake and getting their hearts ready for God's move in this time. So thank you so much, and I'm hoping that you enjoy the rest of your stay in South Africa.
Yes, sir. This is a beautiful country. I love it here.
We look forward to having you back.
Yes, sir.
To having you
awesome.
Back. Fantastic.